The epistle appointed to be read for this, the first Sunday after Easter, is taken from the first epistle of St. John. Beloved, all that is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is there that overcomes the world if not he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came in water and in blood, Jesus Christ, not in the water only, but in the blood and in the water and in the blood. And it is the Spirit that bears witness that Christ is the truth. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness, excuse me. There are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three are one. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater. For this is the testimony of God, which is greater, that he has borne witness concerning his Son. He who believes in the Son of God has the testimony of God in himself. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. John. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, when it was late, that same day, the first day of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." When he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being closed, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger, and see my hands, and bring here thy hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus, for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, I think, as we all know, this past Friday, two of our monks were ordained priests by the grace of God. And this is no small thing, to be sure. They will be starting back on their homeward journey in about an hour or two. They are still up there, and they will be coming home, and also the people who went up there will also be going home. And so, as we did last Sunday, let us now pray for their safety on the road, that nothing, no accident or tragedy of any sort whatsoever will overtake them. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your miracle of grace, the Lord is received. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. May Almighty God bless them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And may this blessing be with them now and forever. Amen. Wednesday of this week at 8:30, the priests will say their first masses in this church. And those of you who can, I know that distance prevents some of you, but those of you who can should try to make the effort to be here for the first Mass because of the many graces and blessings that are derived from being there. It is no small thing for a man to become a priest. I recommend very strongly that you read with intention and with attention the description of a priest by the Curé of Ars, as is found in on the front page, page 1 of today's bulletin. Read it carefully. Read it more than once. And of all the times in the world, this today is a reading that we need to see about what a priest is. On the page 2 of our bulletin, we have a description, a little instruction concerning faith, concerning truth, concerning the things that we ought to be in order to observe our faith. In today's gospel, you heard it more than once. What was the first word, or the first words, rather, that our blessed Lord spoke each time he came into the presence of his apostles or disciples? The very first words were peace. Peace be to you. And as we read in other places, any time and every time any of the angels ever appeared to anybody, what were the first words that came from them? Fear not. My beloved people, we have to be very, very attentive to the presentation of our holy religion. We had best be completely aware of the fact that our religion depends on our faith. It is not, again and again have I said this, it is not the ceremonial of any sort that in any way enhances the quality or the depth of our faith. A ceremonial can become theatrics, and in some places it is theatrics. A ceremonial must not just be something that we enjoy just at the time that we are in attendance of it. And oftentimes when you ask, well, how did you think of everything this morning? Oh, I enjoyed it. My blessed people, I say this with all the strength that I've got. If you came here to enjoy what's going on in here right now, you may just as well be home looking at TV for all the good that it will do us. Some of us were disappointed. And we monks were just as equally disappointed that we did not have a full Holy Week ceremonial this year. We haven't had it for several years. You can be sure that the disappointment was even more grave with us who couldn't do it. It isn't that we did not want to do it. It's because we were totally unable, we are totally unable to do it. And our whole thrust is, if we can't do it right, don't do it at all. Because it will turn people away, it will put bad taste in their mouths, and they will not come back. That's the reason. I can speak for myself. In my younger days, I was involved head and foot in ceremonial. I was involved head and foot in the chanting and the singing and the this and the that and the other thing. I was in the center of it all. My beloved people, that was taken away from me. I didn't walk away from it. That was taken away from me and for anybody else who was also equally involved in that once upon a time. And when I don't see it, you can be rest assured that my heart aches. Let us not use that as any kind of thought or thinking or talk or whatever, that something is missing. My beloved people, if the Holy Week ceremony were the only thing that was missing in our holy religion today, we would be in excellent shape. But everything about our holy religion has been taken away from us by somebody, and I'm not here to speak of that somebody. I'm just here to say and speak of that which is objectively visible. It has been taken away from us. I don't have it. I don't have it here to give to you. But by the grace of God, it is that faith which we are speaking of, that we spoke of in the gospel and in the epistle this morning. It is that faith which we must nourish. I speak to the young children. I speak to the young children and the youth. But anytime, any place, anywhere, anybody who makes our faith something that makes me angry, if there's anything that makes me want to go out and just fight because I'm mad at somebody, if leaving the church on Sunday morning does that to me, little children, please pay attention and remember what I'm about to say. That's not our Catholic religion. If you come here into the Catholic religion, our Catholic religion is a religion of peace. You hear, speak, and you read in this, in our little periodical, you hear the term, and it's also in today's bulletin, the census catholicus. What is the census catholicus? The census catholicus is simply Catholicity that is alive. Catholicity that does to me the same thing that happened to poor old St. Thomas this morning. Catholicity makes me fall on my knees and makes me say, my Lord and my God. And if it makes me say anything other than that, if it makes me, if it fills my heart with anger or debate or distrust or this or this, that or the other, there's something wrong, dear children. Hear me on that. I have been talking of late to certain places elsewhere, you don't know where, that have schools, traditional schools. You know, my beloved people, you know what the basic concern in all these schools is? Do you really want to know? I will tell you. The little children have lost interest in their religion because the love of God somehow is being left out. Little children, you have never ever heard from this spot here any word ever said that was in any way directed at causing one to hate another. And if you leave this church feeling angry at somebody, then I have done wrong. Beginning Wednesday of this week, please God, and that's where I want you to pray. Please God, beginning Wednesday of this week, with the grace of God upon us, all of the affairs of Holy Week, the affairs of Holy Week will be reenacted in this church every morning by six men who will say six masses in this building. This is every day of the week. my precious people, I challenge you to top that. I challenge you to top that. I am an old man, and I do not know when the time will come. This much I know, that there is much to be said, and old men don't beat around the bushes. They have to come to the point. It's a matter of hell or heaven. It's a matter of having chosen. It's a matter of living with that choice, with that commitment, with that understanding of just what we are here for. And just because there happens to be a building here, and because it has statues, because it has this, that, and the other, and lots of pretty flowers and pretty candles and things, it doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean a thing. That which happens up on the altar can just as well take place on a piece of plywood, any place it's set up. That's all that matters. And this is what we have to protect, our faith. Not the ceremonial, not the pretty, all that stuff there is fine. I love it. But I can't have it. And let me tell you something. I said a while ago that I was in the midst of it all once upon a time. And I became pastor of a large church. And you can be sure that while I was pastor there and in charge of things, that we had some awfully pretty ceremonial. And when I was forced to leave, my dear people, my first Christmas after that, I was forced to say Mass Christmas morning in a dirty, smelly, slushy beer parlor. That's where we are, precious people. It's our faith that we have to keep alive. We're not here to argue. We're not here to debate, to fuss, or to fight. I've had some people tell me, why is it that in some of our traditional chapels, the people all look like they're mad at somebody? That's not right, children. We're not here to become mad at anybody. We're here to give worship to God, to give worship to God as best we can with the little that we've got. Yes, we have picked up. I'm a great scrounger. I'm always on the search. I'm always on the search looking for something else that is needed in our church. My beloved people, we are poor. Our religion is poor. But our faith has to be strong. We have to have stability. What the people do not understand And yet what the people are crying and begging for is something to hold on to, something that they will feel safe at when they do hold on to it and feel secure. Argument and debate and fussing and name-calling and all the other stuff that goes with it doesn't give faith 1 ounce of nourishment. Not a bit. It is our faith that we have to nourish. And what is the nourishment of our faith? The love of God. The love of God. That's what we have to work and keep. And anybody that can't understand that should pray constantly, "Dear Lord, teach me how to love you. And teach me wherein that love exists." That's what we have to look for. That's what we have to hope for. That's why we are here. We are, in a matter of speaking, all of us. There are many of us. My beloved people, we have a lovely church by the grace of God. My word, look at how many there are here, there, and wherever who are still having to go to slushy beer parlors in order to fall on their knees in the slush to say, "Dear God, my Lord, and my God." We are losing our religion fast. The world does not comprehend religion. The world now is working for an alternative reality. A reality other than the reality that we've got. And this alternative reality is Satan himself. And he knows all the things that have to be done to present himself. Remember, as I have said before, let us not consider ourselves scholars. Satan knows Scripture by heart. Every word of it, from the first word to the last, he knows it by heart. And he knows exactly what to pull here and what to pull there and what to bring together in order to confuse. And that's where we are. We are a confused people. And you hear this said so often amongst traditional people. We do not know who to trust. We don't know who to trust. Because you go here and you hear it this way. You go there and you hear it that way. And private interpretation is rampant amongst us. You know, I heard it said once, and it makes all the sense in the world, that traditionalism is Protestantism in reverse. Think that one over. Just think that one over real good. That's where we are. Our prayer life has to be the only thing that we must be concerned about. Peace be to you. And when you leave here, you must love. For goodness sake, I have to use that word. I don't want to use it because elsewhere we know it is, and we've gotten telephone calls on that too, because it appeared our bulletins are showing up on the internet now, and we've gotten such telephone calls. "Oh, this is Miss Charity wanting to talk to you about Miss Love." You know, They're poking fun at us. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the love of God. Nothing must take its place. And remember what I said, that argument, debate, and fussing, and fuming, and searching, and this, and that, and the other, does not give any nourishment to my faith. It will not save my soul. I'm not here to fight or to fuss. I'm here to give worship to God. I'm here to give love to God. There are many things you think you don't understand things. Don't, if only you could each be for 10 minutes a priest and know about the things to be concerned about, you would be absolutely amazed. You will say, this is not possible. My floor right now, and those who know, because my desk is not a good filing place, I have to use the floor. My floor lays cluttered with letters. Letters? I don't know how to file them. Letters full of hate, full of distortion, full of confusion, and all such like. All you got to do is go there and look in my room on the floor, and you will see it. That's not why I'm here, and that's not why you are here. You have given plenty of evidence why you are here. I speak these things because my heart is full, and I have to admit I'm scared. I'm really and truly scared of the future of things. And unless we do become, my beloved people, unless we do become people of the kind of faith that we heard tell of this morning, blessed are they who do not see, but who yet believe, unless and we have to hang on to that as strongly as we hold on to the breath that enters our bodies. Without that, we will perish. We will die. During this past week, we picked up information about a certain party, a certain place, a pillar of our faith, really, once upon a time. But for whatever reason, and God alone knows why, those parties, that party, whoever it is, you would be amazed at the reasons that have been conjured up in an attempt to prove justification for what has been done in leaving the faith. No. I'm not going to let you do it. You are here, I am here, and those two men who were ordained 2 days ago and who are hopefully to be come here safely in a couple of days, we are here for God and God alone. Nothing on this earth matters beyond that. You have to cross a line. I have to cross a line. And I have to be determined with active determination and active commitment, my beloved people, that I will put first things first and leave all other things out. When you leave here, my precious ones of God, I won't. It is my desire, it is my prayer, and every time I ask my angel to tell me to say what is right. When you leave here, I want you to leave with nourishment. The nourishment of the soul, not the body, the soul. If you do not have that, you will die. And there's a paragraph. I'll just read you two or three lines that come up in today's bulletin. The force of evil in the world is so strong that in too many cases the soul becomes overwhelmed. Without the grace of God, the soul does not have a chance, and evil prevails. Evil, oftentimes disguised as good, you know, logical arguments, a good debate, good this, good that, or whatever, is constantly prowling and lurking all about us, confusing the mind, or even serious and good, the minds of even good and seriously intentioned people, dragging them away from God, and progressively driving them, pay attention, dragging them to indifferentism, to skepticism, to atheism, to paganism, to false notions of the sensus catholicus, to destruction, and final loss of soul. I cannot let that happen. As long as I have breath in my body, I will not let that happen with God's help to any of us. It cannot, it must not happen. And remember that grace builds on nature. I repeat that, grace builds on nature. If I am not disposed to the right thing, grace cannot be with me. Grace enters me in the same way. I don't care if I am late. I won't come out this morning because I'm waiting for telephone calls, so please forgive me if I don't come out again this morning. But grace, it operates in me in this way. All of us have done it. Take an iron rod. Put it in the fire. What happens to that iron rod while it's in the fire, or when it's in the fire? It takes on what? All of the qualities of that fire. Its color, its heat, its radiance, every part of it, every particle of that iron rod is taken up by the fire. That's the way grace has to work in me. Every particle of me has to be set on fire with that grace. And it depends on my nature, whether I am cooperating or not. And if I do not cooperate, then all of God's power is not going to change it. And I will read from the front page, just the last line. It's worth thinking about. O God, how thou hast loved us. See the power of the priest. Out of a piece of bread, the word of a priest makes a God. It is more than even creating the world. We're talking about power, cosmic powers that have to be put into us if we are to save our immortal souls. My beloved people, after this again, I know you get tired of kneeling down and getting blessed, but you're going to kneel down and get blessed again this morning. Because that's the best I know to have to give to you. And I give to you, and I say to you, peace be to you. Fear not. That's all we've got. That's all that matters. Please, dear my precious people,